Dhamma is such a thing that if you practice in accordance with the instructions given, then you are bound to realize the benefits of the practice. Such is the quality of the Dhamma. And in order to realize the benefit of the practice, the prosperity is also instructions were given, and one of the walks of the path as given by the speaker. And what do you say? The discipline of the Dhamma. And as far as the walk of the path, according to the guidance, you are bound to gain the benefit. And as far as you, all the discipline you lose, stay down by the teacher, you are bound to the behavior that won't become blameless. Only when you are able to follow the path in accordance with the instructions, will the Dhamma be able to sustain you as the heir of this. As the saying goes, the more harmony you see, the more fun. The more praise for help, for God, for protection, the more practitioner. So that one will, that Mother practitioner will not fall down into the states of loss and will not stay long in the realm of birth and rebirth samsara. So in order to reveal this quality of the Dhamma, one has got to practice and confess this, leading to the cultivation of insight knowledge. Then one will be able to come to acceptance of the benefit of the Dhamma. And there are these phenomena arising in the body, which are objects of meditation, as they arise obviously. They are the scope for meditation, for awareness, and they are the target to be noticed, and you notice energetically, you energetically focus your attention so that you activate your mindfulness and deepen your concentration, in this case, developing your momentary concentration, Kanika Samadhi. As the Kanika Samadhi is built up one by one, and as they continue to happen, you will be able to gain wonderful energy. And in this way, as you become powerful in your energy, mental energy, you'll be able to overcome these impurities and undermining elements. And as the noting mind is concurrent with the object to be noted, you are bound to see the true nature of the object from the basics progressing along the series. And as you, as much as you pay attention to the object, you are bound to progress along the inside knowledge. So all these phenomena arising in the body are knowable things. They are the targets to be noticed. If you activate mindfulness, if you note, if you look, you are bound to see. So if you note, you are bound to know. Today we will discuss briefly what are the things that you note and know. You say when you look, you are bound to see. Looking means ordinary looking and extraordinary looking. When you look ordinary way, you see the concept. And even if you see things mentally, you are seeing things from books and hearsay. So this kind of seeing that we are going to talk about is not ordinary seeing or ordinary looking. As is expressed in Buddha and Buddha opacity, there are conditioned things in the body, and one notes these conditioned things. There is nothing causeless, they arise due to cause and condition. And these conditioned things are the realities to be experienced directly. Only when you see it with practice of the Satipatthana or in the spirit of Satipatthana. When you look at it, you are bound to see things as they are, such as the essence, the rendering of Buddha and Buddha to opacity. So every time the object of meditation arises, you note, you see the object as it is, and you are bound to know the nature of this object, notice, as is given in the Sudipirana Maxim. Only when you see at the very moment, you're bound to see Sambhava, that is the ultimate reality, all characteristics. First, you may see in a very crude way, or gross manner, seeing the things, elements, as harshness, softness, roughness, cohesiveness, fluidity, solidity, heat, warmth, cold, heaviness, lightness, state of tension, movement, and all these things which arise very obviously, and you know them and you're bound to see them. Later you'll be able to see even minute details as you go on, as you strengthen in the course of the practice. That is just, that is seeing the sambhava, the realities. And then you are bound to see mind and body discriminately, that is, the mind is the body. If you, as you said, if you have the eye to see, if you have the eyes, you are bound to see things. See the see Namarupa process. And such seeing is not from books or hearsay or from the teachers. It is your own experiential knowledge, personal experience, seeing in a very clear-cut manner, such as seeing by looking. And seeing is seeing the truth. So there will be no, you will not hold the view of self, or individual self or soul, jiva aja. Previously, you are thinking there is such a thing as self or soul in you. And you used to take it as something there, which actually in its natural place, you were not there. So you are holding that view, the existence of the individual self or soul. Now, you are seeing things in a clear-cut manner. You don't hold such views. There's no view of self or soul in you. But at this moment, in the course of the practice of Satipatthana, this kind of personality view or identity view has not gone to the point of no return. Only when you realize the first part, that is become Surapana, will you be able to experience this. That means the attainment of the first part consciousness, this personality view or identity view will not arise in you and they will be gone to the point of no return. They will not come back to you at this stage. So there will be no such thing as psychoidity, a distorted view of personality in you. As you continue to practice, you're bound to see the process of cause and effect in a true way, such as the rupa or material, the body or materiality causing mentality, or mentality causing materiality, or materiality causing mentality, material causing materiality, or mentality causing mentality. In this way, each one is a cause and each one is an effect. Now, as for the example of how materiality causes mentality, because of the existence of these objects, materiality, such as eye, you have the eye sensitivity, or ear sensitivity, and because of that, and because of the presence of the visible object in the case of seeing, and the sound in the case of hearing, that is the hearing or seeing process, seeing consciousness, which is a mentality, and hearing consciousness, which is a mentality. Such is how materiality causes mentality. Now as regards how materiality, rupa causes rupa, this seasonal conditions or weather conditions, they all become under materiality. They are rupa. And this food, nutriment, oh, they are also, they are become under materiality, rupa. And when you have weather conditions, you feel heat or cool, that also is materiality. So because of weather conditions, you feel the heat or cool. Such is the example of how materiality gives rise to materiality, rupa causes rupa. And also because of food, which is a rupa, that is when you don't get food, you feel weak. When you get food, you feel strong and healthy. So this is how rupa causes rupa, or material thing causes materiality. And in this way, and this is one also example of how mentality causes materiality, because of the intentions which are materiality, which are dharma, there arises materiality. For instance, because of a series of wishing to sit down or stand up, there is a process of sitting or standing, as the case may be. This is how mentality, nama, causes rupa. So in this way, you come to realize the linkage of cause and effect as you go on practicing this mindfulness. Previously, there has been this cause, and as much as the cause and effect is understood at the very moment, you have faith in it, and you will also believe that such a thing as cause and effect existed, previously has existed in the past, and will go on existing in the future. So in this way, by realizing the truth of conditionality, you are said to have overcome doubts, skeptical doubts, because you see the truth. So that is how, with the practice of Satipatthana, you are seeing the true nature of these objects. When all along your lifetimes, if you have not undertaken the practice of Satipatthana, you will not be able to see things in a true nature. Only with the practice of mindfulness, you are bound to cultivate insight knowledge. If your mindfulness is weak, then your insight knowledge will not be clear-cut. It will be very dim and unclear, and very dim. And only when the mindfulness is strong, will your vision will become very strong, to see things clearly. And if your mindfulness becomes really good, extremely intense, then your awareness or inside knowledge will become very strong and clear-cut. So, just like seeing something from a distance, if you see an object from a far distance, you will not see clearly what you're looking at. And only when you go closely, the closer you go, the better you see. And the closer you go, the clearer you'll be able to see. As much as you go close, you'll see things very clear-cut manner. This is the nature of practice of Satipatthana. If you strengthen your mindfulness, and if you see closely this object of meditation, as much as you focus energetically, as close as you can, you will sustain your mindfulness sati. And as much as you do, if you do closest, if you note objects in the closest manner, then you will see the most obvious and most clear-cut manner. So at that time, you will see only the nature of the object, that is the essential nature of the object, or the characteristics. Going beyond the form and manner. Form, we call it santara, penyati, the form concept, that means when you're noting rising and falling, the rising of the abdomen, the falling of the abdomen, santara, penyati, the form concepts, or akara, manner concept, that is rising and falling, the manner of rising and falling. Now, you go beyond that, beyond form and manner, and see only the sabhava essential characteristics. And in the beginning, you may be seeing all together. You may be seeing the form of the abdomen, the manner of rising and falling, at the same time, the stiffness, tension, movement, all these things. But later on, you go beyond these two things, that is, form concept. One concept means seeing the abdomen, and also going beyond the mana concept, that is seeing rising and falling, and you will go beyond that to see or observe only the sabhavas, that is stiffness, tension, movement, and all these things. And then when you are doing this in four postures, sitting, standing, lying, and all that, or bending, stretching, you will not observe these manner or forms, you only see the essential characteristics,
such as you feel stiffness, the sensations that you feel, such as stiffness, tension, movement, and things like that. These are known as Sambhava. So in this way, you become very, you see things in a clear-cut manner. And when you start seeing these essential characteristics, you will come to observe the universal characteristics such as impermanence, unselfishness, and selflessness. They will become very obvious to you. Then, if you see things rising and passing away, you will no more hold the view of permanence because you are seeing the truth. Such is the practice of vipassana. Vi means a variety of characteristics, such as the universal characteristics, such as impermanence and so on, as regards to conditioned psychophysical phenomena, and pasati or pasana means seeing. So vipassana means seeing or observing the universe, a variety of characteristics, such as impermanence and so on, in respect of the conditioned psychophysical phenomena.
Sylvia. ရှုခက်တည်းထင်ရှားလာရင်ဆက်ပြီးတော့ရှုလို့ရှိရင်ပို့ပြီးတော
့ as much as you activate your mindfulness energetically, you are bound to cultivate this inside knowledge. And then the more that your noting mind is close to the object, you are bound to see things in their true nature. And out of these three parts of an object, genesis, aging, and diffusion, you see the aging part of the object, and you will see the arising and passing away of these objects in an instantaneous manner. Instead, you will see the instantaneous arising and passing away of these objects. So, as you see it, at that moment, there will be this experience of the Dhamma, namely, seeing the illuminations. And things like that, you're going to experience the light of the Dhamma, or flavor of the practice. At that moment, the yogis will become very inspired and encouraged to carry on with the practice. And if he or she carries on the practice from this stage, he or she is bound to realize the path and the truth in his very life and see Nirvana. So, once you come to experience the factors of Dhamma, the qualities of Dhamma, you become very inspired. At that stage you will be free of what is known as Sandhana Pinyati, that is a form concept, as we have discussed, form concept in sitting and rising and falling of the abdomen, that is a form concept, and Akara Pinyati, the concept of mana, or mana concept, that is the movement of the abdomen, is akara pinyati, for a mana concept. You go beyond that. And when you are in any of the four postures, either you are sitting, standing, or lying, you will not see the form concept as sitting, lying, standing. You go beyond that and see only the realities which are known as Paramatthas, ultimates. You will see only the ultimate realities. And that is seeing the purity of the objects. And at that moment, you are seeing only the impermanent nature of the object noted or observed. You are not seeing the impermanent nature of a noting mind, which is noting the object. But as you continue to practice in the course of the practice, you're bound to see both the object noted and the noting mind dissolving in pairs. Then you see you have reached the stage of the climax of the characteristic of impermanence, the knowledge of impermanence. And because at that moment the form concept and the representation also dissolved as well has disappeared, and so has the mana concept, atara pinyati. So only there is essential nature left. There are no limbs, parts of the body that you observe. You will not observe any parts of the limbs when you're noting any object. That means you're going beyond form concept and manner concept. And so that at that stage, you will no more hold the view of the existence of person, being, individual, self, soul, I, you, man, woman. Because there's no such thing as sitting, standing, lying on the body. Because your concept has disappeared, penalty has disappeared. You're seeing only the essential nature of characteristics. And only seeing the paramatas, ultimate realities. When, as the saying goes, when the ultimates appear, the concepts disappear. And vice versa. So at this moment, your mindfulness practice will gain momentum. You're building up momentum. You're gaining momentum. And you're seeing at that moment the dissolution of these objects noted. At that moment, your insight, your mindfulness becomes very clear. Your inside knowledge becomes very clear and panoramic. That is as a result of the mindfulness, strength of mindfulness. Because mindfulness is very close to the object to be noted.
Should be very short.
As you're going to use the practice in the course of your meditation, you're seeing the arising and abiding way, which you've already experienced, this time more obvious, more clear. You see at this moment only the dissolution of these objects, ever-dissolving objects. And when you see the dissolution only of the object noted, then you're bound to experience fear, become fearful, they'll be viewed as fearful, you fear them, and then because they are dissolving, they are nothing to be delighted, nothing to be attached, so there will be no more attachment as regards these objects. And as you see the dissolving, the dissolution of these objects, you become disillusioned with these objects. So you will come to think that being born as a human being or any being is like living on in a collapsing, near collapsing house, a wretched, poor wretched house, which is about to collapse. So in the beginning, you thought that this house was very good to live in. You found a shelter. You kept stayed to live there. You live in that house, but now you found it out that it was about to collapse. It was a wretched house, so it was going to collapse any moment. Who wants to stay there in a house which is going to collapse any moment? So you don't feel happy about it, become disillusioned, and you want to be liberated from this situation. And such is the progressing along the path and opening up the high of wisdom. You come to observe the universal characteristics of objects, such as impermanence and so on, more prominently, more obviously and clearly. Especially the unbearable situation, unbearable sensation. Previously, you had thought that your existence was very permanent, everything was permanent, and you felt that your mind-body was permanent, and you had been holding the view of permanence. Now, you come to see the impermanent nature. Before, you thought you were permanent, you thought that pleasurable, you thought there was such a thing as self or soul, and things arise. Things can arise at your will, or you can manage things, you can control things. Now, since they are not so, you are said to be weakening them so that such view becomes weaker and weaker. And as you go on noting the arising objects as they arise, you will see this universal interlocking characteristics more, not predominantly. And though you are encountering these unbearable, unpleasurable situations, experiences, you are set to be cultivating knowledge in a very strong manner. As you continue to practice, you will be able to practice in a very with ease regarding the observation of the objects that arise. At that moment, there will be no detection, illusion, or energy or decision about desirable or undesirable objects, or pleasurable or unpleasurable objects. And instead, then you'll be able to see things in a balanced manner. You become equipoised, reaching a state of equilibrium, and such is the unique vision of the Dharma, free of any agitation, and you are balanced, perfectly balanced in the practice. At this stage one is that we reach this combination of the practice of Vipassana. From the stage of seeing the impermanent nature of objects, coming to this stage and weakening the impurities, undermining elements, and coming to the stage of settled practice of Vipassana. This is the maturity of the practice of the inside knowledge. And at that moment you are seeing your learning mind becomes very fast, moves very fast, gaining momentum of the noting mind, coming to this inside knowledge known as anumanyana, conformity knowledge. That is, this knowledge conforms the two things. That is, the former eight inside knowledges and the later knowledge, trying to weld or connect these two things as a conform these two things, hence the conformity knowledge, and trying to link between the previous and the preceding and succeeding inside stages. So at this stage one is set to account to the confirmation of insight practice to reach abhavata, non-process or discontinuity, from abhavata, process or continuity. This can be said as the last stage in the insight. At the end of this insight, that is the Palava Vipassana, powerful form of insight. That is coming to the last stage. After that comes Gotrapu. This is the consciousness known as change of lineage, changing from one lineage to another, from the lineage of ordinary folk, ordinary persons, to the lineage of a noble one, coming to entering into new lineage, the lineage of Arya, the noble ones. And this is the last in the mundane or worldly knowledges. At this stage of change of lineage, God of whom, Nana, inside knowledge. After that, one goes into the path and the fruit, and then which was a great reviewing or reflection. First the path, consciousness, and then fruition consciousness. And then comes Vajrapakana, Jnana, that is reviewing knowledge or reflection knowledge. So as for this mega, it means extinguishing the defilements, kilesa, and entering into Nibbana. Ma stands for extinguishing kilesa, and ga stands for entering into Nibbana. After that comes the fusion consciousness. That is when the fire is extinguished. After the fire is extinguished, there is still some left vapors and things like that, heat or radiation may be left. So whatever is left is again extinguished. again washed away with water, that is the fusion, the consciousness, that is equivalent to fusion consciousness. So mega is like extinguishing the fire, and pala is watering it in order to extinguish everything that remains, such as heat, radiation, whatever. So in this way, first the mega and pala extinguishes the fire, kills the fire, so kills us, and enters nibbana. And such as reaching abhavata, non-process or discontinuity of existence. So the, as for the fusion, as for the path, it extinguishes the defilement, and as for the fusion, it further extinguishes or put away the whatever remains of the impurities.
Kumar, do you mean
one's past experiences, in this case realizing nibbana, is known as Vajrakana Jnana. So just like when somebody is running away or escaping a danger in order to be free from the danger, and after one has escaped the danger, come to a safe place, one looks back the one past one has trodden, such is this kind of reflection or reviewing is known as Vajrakana Jnana.
There's
one thing to explain, that is how kilesas or defilements and duties are extinguished by mega path or path consciousness and entering into, before entering into nirvana. So let us say in the case of the first path consciousness, as the saying goes, kilesi maranto nirvanam kathidinti mego. Extinguishing the impurities and going into nibbana is mega. As or it extinguishes, it extinguishes defilements and enters into nibbana. Hence the name mega or path. We have discussed about the Vajrakana Jnana, about which explains what kind of defilements are extinguished by the path consciousness.